Hey, everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week, we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Roberta's, home of Heritage Radio Network for 10 years. Learn more about Roberta's at robertaspizza.com.
This week on Meet in 3, we look at the ways indoor and outdoor spaces are being reconceptualized during the pandemic to better suit new modes of living, working, and eating.
Brought a vibrancy and an energy back to the city streets that were so dearly missed during the height of the pandemic.
This is about how we can grow indoors all year round using proprietary technology that we've developed.
How do I have someone understand, look, don't take a next to the Juneberries because you can eat those. That's free food.
Tune in to Meet in 3, HRN's weekly food news roundup, wherever you listen to podcasts.
Welcome to HRN Happy Hour. It's 5 o'clock somewhere, and somewhere is the internet, the USA, I don't know. It's somewhere. We're 5 days until election day, so I'm hoping that everyone's anxiety is at a manageable level. I'm Kat Johnson. I am coming to you from Asheville, North Carolina. I've got my co-host Katie Mosman-Wadler coming to us from Connecticut. Hi, Katie.
Hi, Kat. I'm just stress-eating Mounds bars over here.
Yeah, make a dent in that trick-or-treat candy. We have Hannah Forden, who's out in Brooklyn.
Hey, everybody. Happy Thursday.
Happy Thursday.
It's a very Thursday.
Is it Thursday? I don't even know anymore. Can't keep up.
Who am I?
We have our amazing engineer, Jess Kreinchich, who I believe, Jess, you're also in Brooklyn.
Yes, I am. Rainy Brooklyn today.
Wonderful. And our guest today, well, Katie's going to introduce our guest who is coming from the other coast, the West Coast.
The other coast. We are so happy today to have with us Jeff Gross, marketing manager from Stitcher, dialing in from Los Angeles. Hey.
Hey, how's it going? And I also had to double check what day it was. so that's where my head's at.
Well, we know it's Thursday because it's happy hour on yes. HRN. It is five o'clock here on the East Coast, so I have cracked into an Elysian Dayclo IPA in honor of having a West Coast guest. This is from Seattle. Is anyone else having a tasty beverage?
I am having some white wine. I don't even know what it is, but it's taken the edge off, so it's working.
Yeah, I have a little hot toddy going. I have some rooibos tea with a splash of Old Overholt, which is just doing the trick right now because the weather's been very dreary here.
It is
I love that,
that kind of
fall
day.
Vibes.
Yeah. Jeff, is it a refreshments hour for you yet?
It's a little early. It's only like 2 here. So I sad to report that I am just drinking a bottle of water at the moment, but I am ready to jump into happy hour as soon as I can.
Jeff,
you have our full endorsement. Yes, it is.
Yeah. Hannah keeps reminding us to hydrate, and I appreciate it every time Hannah's on a Zoom. Like, remember to drink water. And I'm like, thank you. I really need that advice.
No, it's been so good.
You're welcome. I'm glad to be the camp counselor of our staff.
I need that in my life. I have to really push myself to drink more water.
But do you want to join our drink water Slack channel?
I might need to.
It's 5 o'clock. Oh. Have you had your 8 glasses of water today?
Yeah, I've been actually hearing your voice, Hannah, like in the back of my head. And I only just now has that like crystallized where I'm like, oh, that's Hannah. Like, yeah, who's that good influence? No, it's been so good. So this is a fun show because this is kind of a rare insight into the I want to say underbelly, but that has that dark connotation, but sort of like the back end of podcasting and some of the kind of technical side of what we do at HRN. So we're a network of 35, recently close to 40 shows. And so we run kind of a lot of the back end administration of all of these shows, which means pushing out to various listening platforms. And it was really cool to connect with Jeff recently and be thinking about, like, how do we as a podcast network interface with some of these amazing service providers, which are how so many of our listeners access our content. And Jeff, just for context, can you talk a little more about what you do? And then we can get into some kind of seasonal nitty gritty conversations.
Sure. Yeah. So I am a marketing manager at Stitcher. And up until this week, my focus was working with shows and networks from outside of our company. So as a company, we produce podcasts as well. But then my role was to connect with the shows and networks that we don't make in-house and, you know, make sure that we're keeping up to date with what they're working on, what content they're producing, so that we can highlight their shows and episodes on our platform. Because our platform has most podcasts that are out in the world, and you know, we're not just trying to feature the shows we make. We want to make sure that we have a window into the entire podcast ecosystem for our listeners. So, yeah, working with people to hear about things that we should feature, and then stuff like that.
Jeff, when we were talking to you earlier, when we got on the call, I was looking at Stitcher's like homepage on my phone, and I was like, did Stitcher all of a sudden just become only a true crime podcast platform? But then you were like, no, it's True Crime Week. So talk a bit about like what's popular, what you're featuring. I mean, true crime is just, it's everywhere, right? But like what other sorts of like thematic collections and things do you do?
Yeah, that's a good question. We really go through several different phases depending on what's going on in the world, if there's a holiday, and we also will look at our data to see, you know, what are people responding to, and True Crime Week was one of those things where, you know, whenever we would showcase a true crime show, it pretty much, it just would always do well. So we knew people on our platform, and I think probably on every platform, people are just always hungry for that true crime content. So it was kind of an experiment to see what would happen if for a week we just celebrated true crime content, especially, you know, when we're in a pandemic, and you know, because people are not commuting as much, we did see a dip in listenership and things like that. So we wanted to just try different ideas to see if we could up app engagement and things like that. But yeah, we're always kind of shifting around our homepage. Like, as you can imagine, right now we're doing a little bit more of a focus on election stuff as we get closer and closer to next week. Yeah, so always trying to think of what people would want to be seeing and listening to.
So that's super interesting, because we talked a bit about this as well, as the pandemic definitely changed a lot about listening behaviors with commutes not happening. But, you know, we also found that there were a lot of people who were in the kitchen a lot more. And so that kind of content became, you know, really popular. You know, we put together a playlist of like bread stuff because everyone was making sourdough. And, you know, one of the sort of like inside jokes almost with like podcast industry is just how many new shows are happening all the time. Were you seeing like certain new types of shows getting launched that were, you know, somehow related to this pandemic and people being at home and picking up new hobbies?
Yeah, there was, I mean, I remember, I think like right when shutdown started happening, there were a couple of new podcasts tripping out that were sort of like, you had your daily coronavirus update podcasts, and started slow, and then all of a sudden it was like, I think every, I feel like every news organization was coming out with their own. And that's, and like, I think it was really needed at that time. Everyone was trying to figure out what was going on. What do we need to know about this pandemic? And then I think it sort of shifted a couple months in. I think at a certain point, all right, everyone was like, we're kind of tired of these daily COVID updates. We know we're in COVID and it's not fun. And I need to hear something else. And then I think it kind of shifted into the, okay, this is our life now. How do we deal with COVID type of podcasts? So I think there was a focus on sort of like mental health shows and things like that, or just the kind of the deeper dive, longer term effects of COVID, more so than just the kind of daily news onslaught. And then I feel like after those had their run and it was just becoming more and more clear that, okay, this is just going to be our life for the next, I don't know, however long, I think things started just shifting closer to just being like, all right, now we're just going to sort of put out the shows we were going to put out. And things have, I think, slowly shifted back into just being more normal programming. Although I'll say I got a sense in the last month or so that everyone was rushing to, I think, push out all the shows that they had planned for March or April. And now they were getting them out now before the election, because now everyone's just thinking about the election. So yeah, I found it pretty interesting to kind of see the different. You could kind of track the pandemic via the type of podcast content that was coming out.
I feel like now we're in the phase of, you know, pandemic and election coverage, which is like the hands firmly over eyes, peeping through the cracks between fingers. That's how I'm thinking about like what's on our homepage, what's coming out of HRN, and how do we think about our content. I'm like, we have a lot of stuff that is the fingers, and then we have some stuff that's the peering through the fingers. And what are we ready for as we get closer to, like, we won't even say what's happening next week. It's like we're getting closer to that day, you know, that thing, it's in 5 days, it's gonna happen, big things are changing. But yeah, we have this real need, I think, for balance in the media diet that we all take on.
Yeah, I agree, because I think there's definitely people who they want to know, you know, every minute what's the latest with the election. But then I think there's probably a healthy group of people who they kind of, you know, they'll get the news they want to get, and then they don't want to, you know, overwhelm themselves with it. So yeah, it's tough to find that balance. I mean, we talked internally at Stitcher quite a bit about what we should even do in terms of election programming, because, you know, yeah, we could kind of take over the whole sort of homepage, almost like True Crime Week style, about the election, because that is what everyone's going to focus on. But at the same time, it's like, I don't know, I think people can get kind of sick of that a little bit. So we settled on, we have a couple of curated kind of election political sections right now, but we wanted to make sure that it wasn't everything. We still have other options for those people who are a little tired of it.
Yeah, and I feel like one thing that sets podcasts apart a little bit from, you know, watching the news, or, you know, even just listening to more traditional radio, is like, you have a lot more control over how much you take in. And I feel like that's why, like, mm-hmm. podcasts wind up being my preferred method of taking in election coverage or taking in COVID coverage, because I can say, okay, I heard the first 5 minutes of the daily and I'm good. Like, I don't think I can take this anymore today, you know, and I can pause and, you know, get a glass of water or whatever. And like, it's you have a lot more control over your listening experience, or you can go back to things. I can put on, you know, My Favorite Murder to take a break from the news. So I feel like that's one thing that our medium offers, is like, it's not quite as hit you over the head as the other ways we're constantly getting news. Even social media is often like an assault.
Yeah, that's a great point. It is more, yeah, it is very much like your choice. It's very on demand. It's, you're not just getting a flood of whatever is in your feed necessarily. You really get to make the choice, which is nice.
Jeff, in your adventures in curation, as you're thinking about the sort of alternative programming, has there been anything either like thematic lines or new podcasts that have kind of taken you by surprise as far as what some of the new content or alternative content is right now?
Ooh, that's a good question. I would say I'm like a kind of a comedy nerd. So I'm always fascinated by when people try to kind of not just do the typical like comedy chat podcast and they try to kind of expand on the form a bit and do something different. And I swear this is not a plug for a Stitcher thing. I found it very unique and fun. But we just put out, it's actually just a one episode like Halloween comedy musical special on our Stitcher Premium side of things. And I just found it to be so like joyful and unique because it's got a bunch of silly comedians in it, but the music's actually like really good. And I just find that kind of expansion of the form very interesting and fun. So I'm always looking for things like that. And I think it seems like I feel like fiction podcasts are also sort of having a moment lately. I mean, they have for a little bit, but I think like the production values are getting bigger and bigger for those, becoming, you know, almost like audio movies and things like that, which is really fascinating to me. So it's been fun to see sort of kind of the evolution of the format in a way, and also just the kind of the callback to old radio plays as well. But you know, there's still the classic kind of interview shows that I love as well.
I have sort of like an industry question about the fiction podcast because you know, I don't think none of us are in it for the money with podcasting here, but a fiction podcast is really involved to produce. Like you said, it's like a movie. How are these getting off the ground these days? Like, where is the support coming from? Does it work like the film industry to produce these incredibly beautifully audio designed and scripted shows? Not to mention all the acting and there's just so many resources that go into them.
Yeah, that's a good question. It might be a better question for our business development team, but I mean, I know a little bit just from kind of being around it. It seems like I've noticed there are definitely some production houses. The way movies get made, where it's like an audio production house, and they're really focusing on sort of these really high production value scripted podcasts. Or there's even, I think now there are production companies where they originally were focused on TV and film, and now they've opened up kind of an arm to where they're doing the audio fiction as well, which I find pretty interesting. But I was at Stitcher a couple years ago when we were producing the first seasons of the Marvel Wolverine podcast, and that was just quite a process. I mean, they recorded that almost as if they were really filming a movie in a way. Like, it was all wireless mics, and they were like staged in the studio as if they were actors performing a play, and it was very, very fascinating to me. It seems like something that's gonna keep continuing on. So it'll be interesting to see what else comes of all that.
It's really cool to think about resources shifting from screen to podcast, and that like maybe this is the right moment for us to be reducing our collective screen time, and shifting to audio might be a way to do that. Seems like pretty cool to think about.
Yeah, I love that I can listen to a great interview or a great story and not have to look at my computer screen or my phone screen. I can just close my eyes or I can cook or do whatever. It's nice to not have to use the screen.
And it's one of the only remaining spaces where we have that option.
Yeah, exactly.
Jeff, I'm curious, you know, if a friend or someone comes to you and wants to get your like sort of point of view on the podcast industry right now, and they ask you like, I don't listen to podcasts, like where's a good place to start? Do you have sort of like a recommendation list for people who are kind of getting into listening to podcasts for the first time?
Ooh, that's a good question. Yeah. I mean, ever since starting to work at Stitcher, I feel like I've been like the podcast whisperer of my friends, and always the one to suggest stuff to try to get them to bring them in, to get them into it. I feel like I always tell people to listen to Reply All. I don't know that I find that the stories on that, to just, they always they're always so fascinating to me. I remember like my parents never were big into listening to podcasts. And I played a couple of episodes of that to them, and now they're getting into it, getting into it more. You know, they always find one, and then they kind of jump to find other shows. So it all it takes is, I think, one good show. And I think Conan O'Brien's podcast, I love that. I suggest that one a lot. The Daily, of course. So yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah, I feel like when I first got started listening, it was like Radio Lab for highbrow and then like Reply All for lowbrow. I've gotten several friends hooked on podcasts just from the Larry Shippers episode of Reply All.
Yeah.
It's so good. That's awesome. Well, should we take a quick break, everybody, and then come back with more with Jeff?
Sounds good. I'm going to have another mounds.
Okay. We'll be right back.
My name is Brandon Hoy, co-owner of Roberta's, a super duper awesome place. Roberta's is a very, 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 very proud sponsor of the Heritage Radio Network. We're also super awesome. Thank you, Heritage.
All right, welcome back to HR and Happy Hour. Well, Katie just had a little mound snack, digging into the trick-or-treat stash a little bit early. So we're actually doing a Halloween candy bracket right now on HRN's Instagram story, because we really wanted to try to figure out what is the one candy to rule them all. Jeff, do you have a favorite Halloween candy that is your go-to?
I gotta go with Kit Kat.
Oh.
Solid.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
It's always neck and neck, Kit Kat and Reese's Cup.
That's so funny, because that's what one of our first matchups was, which is,
oh really?
Maybe not smart to put them head to head in the first round in hindsight, but you know, one would have to win anyway. So,
but Jeff, you must choose now.
Jeff, have you ever tried like the fun Japanese Kit Kat bars?
That was my other question.
Is it like kind of mint, or is that a different
one? It's green
one?
Tea.
They have all these flavors that I don't think we can get here, so like there are crazy amazing flavor combinations that I have been fortunate enough to be gifted by friends who, back when people could travel. But like there was like a pumpkin flan flavored one that was stupid good, like a matcha flavored one. But if you like Kit Kats, fall into that internet hole and look at the flavors available in Japan.
That's, you might have heard my furious typing right now. The answer is 300. There are 400 flavors of Kit Kats, according to Wikipedia.
Wow.
So if you can dream it, you can do it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So now I'm like down a total rabbit hole that we don't have to stay in. But
the matcha ones are so good. Yeah.
So I have a Kit Kat story. When I was young and used to eat Kit Kats, I would eat them from both sides until I only had the cat left, and then I would always eat that part less.
Oh, I love that cat. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I would do.
Wait, also the part about your story that was so sad was when you were young and you used to eat Kit Kats, because one, you're still young, and two, why did you feel like you reached an age, like did you age out of Kit Kats?
I kind of do. I don't buy candy. I mean, no. I feel like I kind of need to now because it's Halloween, but I don't know the last time I've had a Kit Kat.
Yeah, I mean, I only bought this bag of Mounds because, like, on the off chance we get a trick-or-treater, but, like, there's basically no way that's going to happen. Also, I'm, in a red zone right now, so it's highly discouraged. So I'm just, like, tucking into it. It seems like once a year you should probably buy a bag of candy, I guess.
Right.
Definitely. I feel like not going to the airport regularly anymore has eliminated my, candy consumption, because that would be part of, fizzy water and, a bag of Haribo gummy bears. It's, my favorite airplane snack.
Yeah. Oh,
that's a good one.
Gummy bears are, that is my favorite airplane snack, too.
I can't I don't want to eat them in real life, but when I'm on a plane, I need to have them.
What about movies? Do you guys have different candy preferences for, a Halloween candy versus the airplane candy versus the movies? Because they're totally different applications.
Raisinets are only exist in movie theaters, as far as I'm concerned. But, when I'm there, I'm like, that sounds like a great snack.
I think that's because they're not very attractive by the light of day.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I love Bunch of Crunch at movies. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've had that.
What is that?
They're like...
they're crunch bars.
It's crunch bars, but broken up into little pieces. Almost like popcorn in a way, but it's so it's just crunchy, chocolatey goodness that I only have at movies, it seems like.
Yeah. But it's the same thing as a crunch bar. It's just the
It's like popped. It's like popped rice covered in chocolate.
Oh yeah.
Which is those are good to throw into a bag of popcorn and get the salty, sweet, buttery thing going.
I do that with Raisinets.
I do that with M&Ms, and in my family, we call that movie salad.
Yep. Yes, exactly.
Wow.
Yeah.
But M&Ms are kind of ideal because they contain the melty-ness.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I also like Sour Patch Kids, but the problem is in the movies in particular, you eat them the whole bag, and then your mouth is so raw.
I miss too movies. Much I miss going to movies.
I know, but I feel like if you get snacks at the movie theater, if you're not nauseous by the time the movie ends, you did it. It's just the general policy, because the quantity is so extraordinary. Even I always get a kiddie popcorn, and it's still a full pound of popcorn.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. We have one of these.
I have to eat it.
Our local cinema, now that we've moved to the suburbs, is a Regal, but we have the one that has the dining in it. But they're always out of everything on their menu. But the thing I've been consistently able to get was, and I haven't been to the movie since we had a baby, because then there was a baby and then there was a pandemic, so I double haven't been. But when I was super pregnant, we would go to the movies and I would get a grilled cheese with tomato and bacon and some sweet potato tater tots. Ooh. And that was pretty solid. And you feel kind of not the best, but it's great junk food indulgence. And it's also kind of exciting to eat it in the dark, because who knows what's going to happen with your sandwich.
Oh my god.
So many possible outcomes.
Especially with a little tomato in there, making it a little extra slippery. well, we definitely miss movies, but we still have podcasts, which is so important. Jeff, what are you thinking about as what's the 2021 of podcasts look like?
Oof, that is a great question.
What is the 2021 of anything?
True story.
Make us feel better.
We'll see what happens on Tuesday. Maybe that'll tell us what the podcast will look like. Yeah, that's a great question. I don't know if I have a great answer for it. I mean, it seems like I think it's going to be interesting to watch how, I think it seems like more and more money is getting pumped into podcasting in general, which is, I think, something to look out for. I think it's great that it is happening. I still hope that podcasts don't lose the thing that made them so great in the first place. Just that, sort of the intimacy of the content and everything, even with more money being pumped in. So yeah, it'll be interesting to look out for that. And you know, for Stitcher, we're going through an acquisition right now, so we'll have to see how that all turns out. So I don't know. I'm optimistic, but who knows what it's going to be like.
Yeah, I have a question along those lines, because like, you know, the about like money getting pumped into podcasts, you know, it's an interesting time to be in this industry. And you know, we've seen more advertisers and companies that want to get involved in podcasts, and it's great for us. And they've certainly gotten like a little bit more savvy on like, well, I want to host Red Ad, or mm-hmm. you know, they're getting to the point where they like know more kind of the things that they want out of the opportunities, right? What do you see as sort of the future of, and then we have branded podcasts, we have like this right. whole new world. What do you see as sort of the future of like what advertisers and sponsors like hope to get from it? And then to your point, like how do we kind of as podcasters protect what's special about it?
Yeah, that's a great question. I really hope that the spirit of the host Red Ad never dies. I think that's really one of the things that actually attracted me to podcasts in the first place. Listening to shows and like actually liking the ads, which I was like, what is, this is so weird. I think there is a little bit of fear in me as more money gets pumped in that spirit could potentially die, but I really hope not. You know, I think there's definitely a lot more going on now with ad technology and dynamic ad insertion and programmatic ads. So I think that stuff can be good as long as we try to keep it as core to the uniqueness of what podcasts can be. My fear would be that in a few years, podcasting just sounds like what the radio sounds like, with just every ad is like pre-produced and it's a narrator and, you know, music and it's not kind of that classic fun podcast ad. So hopefully that keeps going. But we'll see.
Can I ask a slightly more fun question, which I might be a very hard question to answer, but well, just because we work in the industry, I'm asking you to choose your favorite child. Is there like a handful of shows or like one or two shows that you religiously listen to every single week?
Yeah, this is kind of an off the beaten path show. So I am like a huge fan of theme parks, and I also love comedy.
Good niche.
Yeah. So I don't know if you've heard of this podcast. There's a podcast called Podcast The Ride. It's produced by Forever Dog. But it's three LA comedians or improvisers who happen to also love theme parks. So it's like a great mix of my love of hilarious podcasts and my love of theme parks. So every episode they either talk about a specific park or a specific ride at a park, and it's, you know, it's one of those shows where they make it goofy and weird, and I don't know, I just love it. And I find myself listening to that one the most lately. I definitely go through phases. Sometimes I'm religiously listening to the daily every day, or Conan or Comedy Bang Bang, but right now it's Podcast The Ride.
That seems like the perfect podcast for this moment. Just a complete escape.
Yeah, except for when they're talking about all these things we can't do at the moment, like go to theme parks. But
what's the first park or ride that you will go to, Jeff?
Ooh. So I'm in LA, so I'm not too far from Disneyland. And I actually got an annual pass right before the pandemic started, not knowing what was coming. So I barely got to use it. So probably when everything calms down, I'll probably go there. Maybe I'll ride Space Mountain. We'll see. But I'm definitely not going to jump into it. Like, I got to make sure, because, you know, Disney World is open, but I don't think I would go there yet. So I'm going to wait a while, I think.
What, that Disney World mask ad didn't entice you to want to go?
Wasn't that so, like, it feels kind of
apocalyptic.
Yeah, it's like, this is so weird.
It was really bizarre. And like someone said it to like skit horror music. And I was like, that's pretty fitting.
That's hilarious.
Sort of take the joy right out.
Yeah.
Well,
they should extend your annual pass.
Yeah, I think they are. I think they said they would give us like bonus days based on how many days they're closed or something. But
nice.
How did you first like get super into theme parks and rides, Jeff?
I don't know. I think so. I grew up in Georgia, so we weren't super far from Disney World, and so I think we went there, you know, maybe every few summers. And I don't know, something just, I guess, struck a chord with me or something, and I just became super into roller coasters and rides. And
are you an adrenaline junkie?
I guess. I don't know, because it's funny, I wouldn't call myself a huge risk taker or anything, but I do love roller coasters. So I don't know what that means, but and then moving out to LA after college, you know, there's so many theme parks out here, which is awesome. So it kind of I think it re-sparked my love for it, because it's so easy to access out here. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
Did you ever go to Wild Adventures theme park in Valdosta, Georgia?
No, I've heard of it though, because I have family in Vidalia, Georgia.
Yeah.
And
onions.
So,
onions.
Yeah.
Nice. So
I'd always see the billboards for that when we drove down there, but we never made it there for some reason.
Okay, well, you should go when you have the chance. I went once. Their whole thing, it's kind of depressing because it's like very Tiger King-esque. They have like the big cat shows. Don't recommend that. But I went to, my family took me to a Lynyrd Skynyrd concert there when I was in elementary school.
Oh, man.
So it is another world. It is, if you want the antithesis of Disneyland, that's the ticket.
All right, wait, so are you from Valdosta or
no? I'm from Alabama, but close enough to drive to go see Lynyrd Skynyrd.
That's amazing.
I want video of baby cat at the Lynyrd Skynyrd concert.
Well, we were staying at the same Holiday Inn as them, so we got the after concert picture photo.
Lynyrd Skynyrd staying at the Holiday Inn.
They weren't technically staying there. They were on their tour bus, but they wanted to watch a UFC fight or something, and they needed to go to the Holiday Inn to get the pay-per-view package.
Wow.
I can't wait for your memoir.
Yeah. So, yeah. There you go. Well, so Katie asked Jeff how you got into theme parks and roller coasters. But I'm also curious kind of like how, like what was sort of your entry point to getting into podcasts?
Oh, yeah. So after college, I got an internship at a record company in LA. And so I went to college in Georgia. So I just moved to LA and I was like, I'm just going to try this because I'm young and it doesn't matter. And I'll, you know, if it doesn't work out, whatever. So I did the internship, and then the internship ended, and I desperately needed to find a job, and I didn't even really know podcast companies were necessarily a thing. I knew like NPR and things like that. But I just was desperately searching for a job, And I think it just randomly occurred to me in my search. I was like, I'm into podcasts. I got really into them in LA because I was just driving around so much and looking for entertainment while I drove. So I was like, are there podcast jobs? And then I came across this company, Midroll, and they were hiring an ad operations specialist, which I really didn't know what that was, but it was like one of those jobs where it didn't seem like it was requiring a ton of experience. It was sort of entry level. So I went for it and I interviewed and they somehow gave me the job. I'm grateful for it. So I started in the ad operations side of things, so working a lot with like the advertisers and our shows. And then I shifted over to marketing, and then Midroll acquired Stitcher, and then I got shifted into like the partnership role and stuff. I've been there now close to 5 years, which is crazy. Wow. So it's been a fascinating journey.
Yeah, I think we're all kind of in the same boat with that, right? Like none of us here really went to school thinking we were going to have a career in podcasts, but like here we are because this industry has kind of grown so much in the past, you know, 5-10 years.
Yeah. And you're the only one who even went to school for anything adjacent.
Yeah, like I went to Auburn for mass comm and like,
oh, just
and just
that's what I did actually. Yeah,
yeah. So it's funny because like now I think, you know, people who are in school or starting their careers, like they might actually go like say, I want to work in podcasts or I want to work in radio in a way that didn't really wasn't on our radar. So for Jeff and for anyone really, I guess, because we're all in this boat, right? It's like, what kind of advice would you give to someone who was starting out in a career and wanted to do this as their job?
Oh, that's a good question. I mean, I would say, if you want to have a podcast or produce podcasts, I think I would say to just make some stuff on your own. I feel like the medium's great because really it just requires, you know, a microphone that doesn't have to be that expensive and some software, and you can record whatever and learn how to edit things. And I think you can really get a jump on things doing it yourself like that, and then you can build up having sort of a portfolio of what you've worked on. I think beyond that, I would just try to reach out to see if you can find people on LinkedIn and reach out to people and try to network. I know it's weird now in the pandemic world where everything's virtual, I guess, but it's been interesting because I've had there's been students from the school I graduated in now, like they've somehow found my email. They'll email me saying like, hey, I'm a student, I'm really interested in podcasts, and you know, not all the time can we find a role for them or an internship for them, but still it's you know, I think there are people out there who are willing to help. And I think you just gotta try to push yourself, and it can be uncomfortable, but just try your best to get your foot in the door somewhere and somehow. But yeah, I think on the production side, I you all might know more about this than me, but I would say just go for it. Just try to make stuff. Because there's also, I've had friends say, hey, I want to make a podcast. Will Stitcher like pick it up to produce it? And I'm always saying, like, you don't really, if you're just starting out, like, I don't think you really need a network or a production company behind you. I think you can make stuff on your own and prove yourself. You know, build it from there. But I'd be curious what you all think.
Yeah, I was gonna ask Jess, like, you know, Jess is working with iHeartRadio and did our internship program, so she probably has a good perspective on this.
Oh gosh.
She'd be like, everything Jeff said was wrong.
No.
Become an accountant.
Well, yeah, if you want an easier payday, yeah. Be an accountant. I totally agree with the just do your stuff. Like, there are more jobs in this industry now, but there's also so many more people who are interested in it. So whenever like people ask me for advice, I'm like, exact same thing. You just got to make your own stuff, make the stuff that you want to hear, that you like. And if it's something that you like, you'll do it well. And then hopefully, you know, people will see the effort that you put into it and, you know, respond accordingly. But also figure out what you actually like about this, because there's so much confusion about like what is producing versus like doing the technical stuff.
I just have to give a shout out too to a year ago, Jess was one of our interns and like did the most incredible production and sound design on our Halloween episode. I feel like we need to link to that in this.
I think that was last year.
It was, yeah.
It was last year. It was approximately 10,435 days ago, also last October.
Yeah.
Yes.
So good. I'm going to go re-listen to that. Katie, Hannah, do you guys have thoughts on like breaking into this wild and wacky industry that we're in?
I mean, I think you guys both gave really good advice, and I think I've also like started getting like LinkedIn messages from, you know, people I had one class with in college being like, oh my God, explain this whole industry to me. And I think people don't, I think the advice, Jess, that you gave of like, you need to understand what the industry actually looks like and what jobs are, because I don't think, because it's a new industry and not everyone knows someone who works in podcasting, there's like a lot of mystery and people just envision that, you know, things just sort of magically happen. And it's not like there are designated roles, there are designated areas of expertise. And then also on the flip side, that there, I can't really think of a creative medium that is more accessible to teaching yourself how to do it and potentially like getting your work out there in an effective way. Like there's, it's kind of a unique opportunity there to like tap into your own passions, and you know, you really don't need that much equipment or knowledge base. You just need a good idea and some time to play around and mess up to make something sound good. That would be like my main advice, is like make sure you like that part of, make sure you like cutting tape and hearing the sound of your own voice, and then we can talk about the next steps.
I think it's also okay if you are super uncomfortable with the sound of your own voice. You just have to like be ready to suck it up. But yeah, I feel like my advice is like, let's see, go study molecular biology and work at a biotech company and then go to food policy. No, just kidding. Don't do that. But I think in general, like, it's also just generally really good life advice, going back to what Jess said, of like, you should find what you enjoy doing, but it's also at least equally important to rule out what you don't like in any job. And that's going to apply. I mean, I think now it's pretty rare to stick with a field in our generation, to just like be like, this is who I am and what I do, unless you are a lawyer or a physician or something where you've like really invested incredible resources into this particular specialization. We tend to change industries a lot. And so, you know, podcasting is something that does have like a lower barrier to entry as a form of creative expression, and also like as a business, it's changing so quickly. So there's a million ways you can be involved in it, and you should try and find out for yourself, like, do I like playing around with audio clips on a computer, or do I hate that? Or, you know, do I like going to business meetings and talking about sponsorships, or do I hate that? Or do I like talking to people, or am I uncomfortable interviewing somebody? And just like figuring out, there's a million ways you can get involved, and you don't really necessarily know what you might enjoy until you try it.
And I do think, because this is a fairly new industry and a lot of people are self-taught, that like what Jeff said about reaching out to people is good. Like everyone I know and myself, like when you reach out to people for advice in this industry, they're remarkably generous with their time. and thoughts. So take advantage, no, don't take advantage of that, but take people up on, you know, virtual coffee or whatever, because I think it's pretty unusual how open people are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And go ahead, Jeff. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, in addition to like finding what thing you like about the industry, I think it's also super key to, especially starting out, try everything and try to learn a little bit about everything, because mm-hmm. I feel like, especially when you're at a small organization like HRN, like you might need to wear every single hat imaginable. And so that's one thing I kind of learned in school too, was like, learn how to run a camera, run a microphone, do an interview, edit. Because if you can, the more that you can do, even if you don't end up doing all of it all the time, the better positioned you'll be.
Yeah, be flexible.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I would totally agree with that on like the sort of the more the businessy side as well. When I started, I knew I wasn't going to want to do, you know, ad ops or advertising for my whole life, but I was able to pick up on a lot of things and learn just a lot about how the podcast industry works and how these companies make money and things like that, which just having that background knowledge from doing that role for a little bit, it just still helps me as I've transferred to different departments and different jobs, just to have that knowledge of how things are structured and things like that. So I think, you know, there's a willingness, you gotta have a willingness to sort of, I think maybe see the bigger picture. And if a job is not exactly what you want, but it's getting you in the direction of where you want to go or in the door of somewhere you want to be, I think you can really learn from that.
Mm-hmm. I think that's great advice. Yeah. You aren't going to have the perfect job from the get-go, and take every opportunity you can to learn and move yourself forward. That's great advice.
I still don't have the perfect job, and I don't know what I want to do when I grow up. But
just ride roller coasters all day. That's the perfect job. Awesome. Well, kind of round things out, Jeff, do you want to talk like a bit more about kind of your next role and what you're looking forward to professionally or personally as we enter the next year and hopefully come out the other side of next week? Oh, all right.
Yeah, so I'm changing roles to work more on the Stitcher Premium side of our company, which is our subscription service, I guess service is the right word. Doing audience development for the shows that we work with on that side of thing. So with Stitcher Premium, we'll do bonus episodes of shows or exclusive releases and things like that. So I'll be working with those shows and helping them launch and develop marketing plans and things like that. So a little bit of a changing gears for me, but I'm excited to give it a shot and see how it goes.
It's awesome.
No, we're so excited for you, Jeff, and congratulations on your new role. We are still very keenly interested in when we can help make Foodie Week happen at Stitcher. So
yeah,
keep this in mind.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we would love to do that.
Well, that is bringing us towards the end of our time together. It always flies by so quickly. But Jeff, thank you so much. We hope that you get to enjoy some Roberta's pizza. We did a little scheming to get it through the mail so that we could pizza together from afar. But we really, really, really look forward to welcoming you one day back to our studio in Bushwick.
Oh, thank you. This was so fun. So thank you so much for having me. And thanks again for that pizza. I cannot wait to eat it. It's so good. Even in its frozen form, it just looks really great.
Well, don't eat it frozen, okay?
Okay.
It's really worth the extra steps to warm it up, I think.
Got it.
Well, it's been absolutely a pleasure. Thank you. You are welcome back anytime. We also, one perk of having been a guest on HRN Happy Hour is that you are invited to come back as a co-host of our show in the future. If you'd like to bring on a guest of your choosing, just hit us up.
Okay. Yeah. Anytime. I'm here.
Amazing. Well, thank you. Thank you so much, Jess, for being our amazing engineer tonight. Thank you to Hannah and to Kat. And hang in there, everybody. It's going to be quite a ride getting into next week, but we're all in this together, and we're all going to do our part.
Yes. Thanks, Katie.
Thank you. Everybody go vote.
Have a safe weekend.
HR and Happy Hour is powered by Simplecast. Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Instagram and Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can also find us at facebook.com/heritageradionetwork. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Subscribe to the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join the HRN family by becoming a member. Just click on the heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.
Hey, it's Francis Lamb, host of The Splendid Table. Every week on our show, we talk about food and cooking and the meanings of food and cooking. We talk with the most interesting people in food about their techniques, their culture, and everything in between. Whether it's about how fried chicken took over the world or how Instagram changes the way people are actually eating. It's a food show where everyone is welcome. Come join us. You can listen to The Splendid Table wherever you get your podcasts.